Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant actress, writer, podcaster, educator. It is the brilliant, the talented Karama Donkwa!
Karama! Hello, hello, thank you. I didn't prepare an AKA. I should have. I've been here before. I want to be cool like right. you guys, but I can't match your singing prowess. Thank you for having me again.
Have you? Yeah. Cool is definitely the operative word. Very, very cool. What very you've cool, just witnessed cool. here at the start
very
of our cool, show.
Very legal.
I'm also the only person not wearing a hat, and I feel like rude that I didn't get that memo.
And you eat your apples from the side, I'm assuming, based on your reaction to that song I was singing.
Oh, I don't eat apples because I like to fight doctors.
I have a tiny apple today, guys. It's my mid-record snack. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
It's time. I could probably eat it in like three bites, I think. But I don't know. I still have yet to try the bottom to the top method of apple eating. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it'll happen live to on tape Instagram. On this podcast.
I feel like the way that you eat a food is very important. And I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong to eat it from the bottom up. It feels very wrong.
These are the kinds of guests we have on that just challenge the paradigm as we know it, you know, and push us further and further out and saying, you know, there's no wrong way to eat an apple. And it just looks wrong.
Well, like I bit into a Kit Kat once, just like the whole thing. And it didn't taste right anymore. It just wasn't a Kit Kat.
Right. Like, you didn't break them apart. You're just bite through all four.
Big bite through all four of them.
And now it looks like a pan flute made of chocolate.
That's right.
It's for my musicologist out there.
Karama, you are, where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming to you from Chicago currently. Okay. New city for me. I like it so far. Nice.
Yeah.
A lot of buildings. Great for it. Okay. Happy for Chicago and all of its buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get to witness any of the St. Patrick's Day madness?
I was here on St. Patrick's Day. So a little shenanigans. I'm not a big drinking holiday celebrator. So I was just like minding my business. I actually got my passport renewed on St. Patrick's Day. You know.
Oh.
the craziest activity.
You know.
So I spent most of my day in the passport office, but me and the passport office guy are really great. Shout out to Frank at the passport office in Chicago.
Wait, but you're in LA or you're in California most of the time, right? Like, you live in California, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but you're like, I got to handle my passport shit while I'm in Chicago. Like,
so here's the thing. I'm stupid. So what I should have done is just did it in LA because I didn't do my US passport. I did my Ghana passport. And there are four places in the United States where you can renew your Ghana passport. And one of them is Los Angeles. But I was like, you know what? I'm in Chicago. I don't have anybody here that's trying to hunt me down, that needs anything from me. So I'm just going to do this very important errand while I'm in Chicago. Don't ever do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that.
It just felt like you were so comfortable there. I'm like, damn, look at you really feeling this in. I'm like, yeah, handle some of my federal passport business while I was in town.
It's check the out dumbest the thing building. I think I've done all year.
Right.
And nobody peed on your shoe or anything like that? Like, no. You made it through the Chicago St. Patrick's Day celebration without anybody at, like, just somebody breaking a window in front of you? None of that?
I'm the problem on St. Patrick's Day, which is why I don't really celebrate, because I don't like the Celtics. Right. And there's a lot of people wearing Celtics jerseys on St. Patrick's Day because they are green. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in 2014, I almost started a fight with a dude at a bar in LA because I was like, you can't wear that here.
Yeah.
We don't do that here. And he was blessedly like, okay, ma'am.
Right. They're like, you're at my bar on St. Patrick's Day.
I had one drink on St. Patrick's Day. I went and got ramen and had one drink. I had, like, an old-fashioned. And I did see a guy in a Larry Bird jersey, and I was feeling feisty after my one old-fashioned, and I was like, oh, it's on.
Have you been watching Winning Time on HBO?
No, I haven't.
About the Showtime Lakers? Oh, man, there's some good, if you want to get, like, energized by, like, people not liking the Celtics, there's some good scenes in there where I'm like, yes, tell Red Hour back.
Brahma just cracked her knuckles like she was like, oh, yeah, we're going in. I am a fellow Celtic despiser. So
there's no reason for me to hate this. This rivalry has basically been dead since Larry Bird and Magic Johnson retired.
Same.
There's literally no reason. It's just a thing I hold on to. It's my hobby.
I had beef with Danny Ainge. He's gone, and I'm still like, man, I still really do not like this team. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
You always bring that up. You're like, I thought with Danny Ainge,
I thought it was going to be gone. Well, I always bring it up on this show. You should talk to my therapist, you know? That's all I talk about. No.
Also, I know there's a listener named Alicia from Boston who's going to be in my mentions right now, because whenever I bring up
Alicia,
Boston,
like, I love you. I love the people of Boston.
Alicia, you get the pass.
And you know what? My dislike of the Celtics.
I don't know. I mean, don't come into my house wearing
the
that trash.
Boston,
though.
Some people in Boston are great. Boston as a city, though, does have a reputation for being just a little bit racist. So.
A little bit. I heard a few things from the history books.
I should not give the global pass to the people of Boston. That's probably a little much, but there are great people in Boston.
No city deserves a global pass, I think.
No.
Definitely not Los Angeles. I'm from a trash city, too.
Yeah. Right.
Chicago's great, though. Thanks, Chicago.
Chicago is great.
Honestly, yeah. My grandparents are from Chicago, so I'll give some people the grandparent blanket pass.
Yeah.
If you're a grandparent in Chicago, great. There it is. Boom.
Boom.
We honor you.
We do like to ask our guests, and we particularly like to ask you, what is something from your search history?
Well, it's funny because I've lately, like, I've run out of weird shit to, like, I'm, like, now Googling, like, weird shit. Like, I'm out of all the... I was going to talk about the Dyatlov Pass. Do you guys know about the Dyatlov Pass?
I do.
It's like the Dyatlov Pass is like the, I don't know, like the Allman Brothers of the weird, you know what I mean? Like, it's like everybody knows. Oh, they're like, oh, Jesus, what are you talking about?
Because we know about it. Like, it's like our listeners know about it.
I think we talked about the last time.
But, like, did we talk about Dyatlov Pass last time? No, we didn't.
Pretty sure. I know the three of us have discussed the Dyatlov Pass.
Did we talk about the sex position I made up called Dyatlov Pass?
Okay.
No.
Now, is that what happened when you Googled weird shit?
It's just a bunch of people in a tent. But the Atlov Pass, for those of you who don't know, is like a bunch of Russian hikers, like in the 1970s, ended up just like getting fucking, well, they died
in mysterious circumstances,
but they also ended up like dead, like in ways that were just like totally crazy, like, you know, like spread out over like a huge amount of space, and like all of them were had different injuries, and some of them were like naked and stuff. And so anyway, that I just think it's funny that I've gotten into the, like, I'm the same. I'm like, Dyatlov Pass, like, I'm doing Cold Brew Got Me, like, the podcast, and I like to talk about something strange, you know? Mm-hmm. And I realized that I've talked about all the strange things, and now I'm into hack strange things. Like, hey, have you guys heard about the Philadelphia experiment?
Right.
And they're like, no way. How about the Rendlesham Forest incident? They're all incidents.
is that the like British military UFO encounter?
Yes, everybody knows it's horrible. It's like it's like the year punk broke. It's like when Nirvana broke. It's like nightmare. It's like, because now the History Channel's got all this shit on blast. If that's the right thing to say,
yeah,
on blast,
kind of a young man.
Miles, do you know? So, I mean, I'm kind of a UFO head though, which is a cool thing to call yourself. But Miles, do you know about that? the forest incident, Rendlesham.
No, my boyfriend's a UFO head. Oh, cool! That's awesome.
Good for it. Sounds great. How's that work?
Hanging out with her fucking.
I bet brunch
boyfriend.
Is a blast. UFO head. Rendlesham Forest. You know what I'm talking about? Oh,
wait,
man.
So what's the Rendlesham Harry and the Hendersons Forest?
Rendlesham Forest is like a very believable UFO sighting where like this little fucking UFO that was pretty small actually went around in the woods in England. And like a bunch of people tailed it, and like these guys were running around, and they have it all on audio. Like they have audio from the
concurrent recordings.
Who the
of
fuck
like
was
what's
recording walkie talkie transmissions back then on like a reel to reel or something?
But again, it's one of these things that you see in some of the UFO encounters where it's not a thing where somebody's just happens to be walking in the forest and like encounters a bright light. Like both this and the example of the Tic Tac where like the fighter jets were scrambled out to see it, like the UFOs were there for a while. And so like that's why they were recording, is they went out there to be like, there is something very strange going on. There's like all these weird lights that are like floating through the forest. And we are a military base that I believe had like nuclear capabilities. Maybe not, but
it was a great story.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable story. But
I would say it's true, unless some, like, the idea is everybody says it's a weather balloon, you know, but that's kind of like nobody believes that. Everyone knows that's a...
Right.
Like
a tiny weather balloon
a
that
cover
was, like,
story.
Moving
yeah.
through
this
the
is like,
forest
yeah, like, there's, unless
and burning
the,
trees.
Unless the government was, like, created a tiny little UFO that, yeah, like, burnt trees and, like, traveled around in the woods, which seems like there's no way that... That's not a military thing. They're not trying to
one
explore
thing, the military
woods.
Loves a goof.
They're trying, military not trying loves to explore the woods. Oh, yeah. Military doesn't want to check out the woods. I've said that three times. That's cold brew. That's what I was going to say. Okay, so what I've gotten into is I still watch Abandoned Mine videos because they reliably find stuff. And I am sick of... I watched Curse of Oak Island for fucking seasons, you know, but I watched it on the bootleg version where it's all wavy on YouTube. Right. Like where they have to shrink the screen and stuff.
Right.
You know
and
what I mean?
Like it's
like
up like a couple cents.
Yeah. So like put like a bunch of swirlies, like swirly patterns on the side of the screen or something. And they kind of do the show backwards.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Oak Island hasn't found anything in like nine seasons. I give them credit for, you know, trying, but I'm tired of it. And at least at the Abandoned Mines, they find a glove.
They're still delivering.
Or, you know, oh, they'll find like a Prince Albert tobacco tin.
Yeah.
You know, reliably.
Yeah, right.
And that makes me feel
good. Yeah.
Artifact.
The first time Chris came on, he was talking about mudlarking, then people fishing around in rivers, I believe, at one point.
Mm-hmm. What a disrespectful way to describe magnet fishing.
Magnet fishing, my bad.
People fishing around in rivers.
Oh, yeah, magnet fishing.
It's magnet only fishing. One of the top sports in the world.
But I feel like we're slowly honing in on...
Did you not see the Olympics?
The pay dirt. Yeah.
Magnet fishing.
Magnet fishing.
Yeah, they stock the pond. Was, they stock it with like wrenches and, and lawn chairs. That's all they ever find is fucking lawn chairs and wrenches. And they're always like, pretty good day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it wasn't a good day. Not you know, really. They're like, if you think a good day is finding a lawn chair and a wrench,
I found 3 wrenches.
But they're like on the upside. We got drunk. I mean, it's just like regular fishing. Like, it doesn't matter what you catch. It's just about how drunk you get.
It's about the friends you make.
I'm having a premonition or whatever it's called when you think you've had this exact conversation before. But is there a...
That makes me sad. we've had this conversation with Crofton before.
Well, we've just done so many shows. My brain is broken. But is there a genre where people go into garbage dumps and like dig through garbage dumps and like evaluate our trash? That would be interesting to me.
Well, they definitely wouldn't be evaluating it because people like that they just hold it up to the camera.
Mm.
Like, they don't say anything about like historical. And most of the time, they're just look at this fucking thing.
High chair right. For a baby.
This is probably old, or maybe it's not. Oh, but I think it is. Well, it might not be, though. Could be contemporary, but I'm pretty sure it's old, or maybe it's not. That's pretty much the whole thing. But yeah. People go to the dump and find dump cans. Like, they'll find old beer cans, like
they're searching for treasure, essentially.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. You can find, dumps are. I'd like to go to the dump.
We all know the old adage.
I'd like to go to the dump. They never let me in. They said I need a license or something.
But there's this Arizona like sociologist, I think, is what his profession is called, and he evaluates people's trash and like to determine things about like modern America based on our garbage, which is like the only actually democratic like way to evaluate people is through their garbage, because everybody gets their garbage collected by usually the state or, you know.
Well, there's 2 things about garbage. First of all, I read a thing where hot dogs have so many preservatives in them that you can find a hot dog from the 1950s in a landfill that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's ever eaten it, because I know there's that guy, New England Wildlife and More, who eats old food, but I've never, he should do a thing where he goes to the dump and actually eats food out of the dump, but that's a recommendation for New England Wildlife and More if he's watching. He also unclogs culverts. He has a whole separate channel devoted to unclogging culverts. Like this has been brought to my attention by other people. Like people like who listen to Cold Brew got me like, you know, they're like, stop talking about the Dyatlov Pass and start talking about the fact that your man, New England Wildlife and More, the guy who eats old food from the 1930s but couldn't get it during the pandemic because they canceled the state sales. That man, when he couldn't get the old food, started unclogging culverts. And he has a girlfriend, and they go together. And it turns out a culvert is a pipe. I thought a culvert was like a little ditch or something. A culvert is the name of the actual pipe that goes under a road.
Right.
New England Wildlife and More is obsessed with culverts, and he camped out on a culvert. He put a tent on top of the pipe and was like, I'm camping out on top of a culvert. It's right underneath me. But he was like, it was like an achievement. Like, it's like, but he's genuine. You know what I mean? He's not doing this as a stunt. He's passionate about pipes. Like, he likes pipes, like the pipe. He's like, it's right underneath me. I'm on top of the culvert. And you're like, that's what? It's so confusing. But then you realize this is what life's about.
Yeah.
You know,
finding the thing that gives you joy.
Yes. Stop trying to make $1 billion and go to the moon and start getting excited about pipes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that is literally almost word for word what I have written later in the doc, because I swear to God, because of the fact that crypto has now democratized people's ability to make their job like finding ways to game like little markets. And so now we have even more brain power just being dumped into fucking bullshit and like gambling markets, essentially, instead of unclogging culverts or building a new culvert that doesn't need to be unclogged.
And sometimes like lakes have drains in them. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen that. I don't know what that's all about. I haven't gotten into it, but he likes unclogged drains. And he's like, when the drain goes, he's like so pumped, and he has a girlfriend who's into it.
Creates a whirlpool.
I mean, I don't have a girlfriend. And this culvert guy? This guy who's got some woman who'll go with him to unclog culverts?
Sounds like he needs to switch it up.
Yeah. Nailed it.
That's just like, he must be wonderful in bed. That's all I can say. You got a girl who's willing to come with you. He's all right. I mean, I do have to spend a lot of time with pipes. He likes to unclog pipes. He doesn't have a whole lot of money. He eats old food, you know. He's like, all right, though. He's not. He's nice. So, yeah. So he unclogs pipes. He also camps out in an abandoned motel. Like, he's like, there's an abandoned motel right near this pipe I want to unclog. And so he stayed in the abandoned motel with a space heater in the room, and he kept saying like what temperature it was. He was like, "It's still 40 degrees in here, even with the heater." So, so yeah, and he has a girlfriend with him during that, you know.
Just like, and he has a girlfriend,
like, you know. It's like, my goodness, these people are in love, and that's the kind of love I want.
Yeah,
I want the love where we both are insane.
Yes.
I just want to unclog shit.
Someone said that's the only kind of love. Dally, what's something you think is overrated?
Hang on. Sorry, I wrote this on a sticky note. What is my top out of all of these things? I put basil. basil. I think I was just mad when I was thinking about this. I was mad at my plant. Basil, if you're listening to this, fuck you.
Yeah.
I just repotted my basil and it like started dying. And I was like, it was, like all my other plants are just like thriving right now. But basil's like, oh no, change.
Oh no, so, transplant shock.
Nobody needs you, basil. Nobody likes pesto anyway.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I know people who love pesto. I know people, Her Majesty. I'm sorry, I'm going to take shots at you, my love, but my partner, my wife, Her Majesty, blood type is pesto.
Damn. That also assumes that she listens to the podcast, which makes me
doesn't.
Jealous.
She doesn't. She doesn't.
You
she
said
doesn't.
That. You said that like someone who's confident that their wife listens to the podcast.
But it will get back to her because people
right.
we know listen. Because
I'll then, call her after
yeah,
we,
well,
this recording.
You're texting her right now. I just got a text from her. She said, what the fuck you saying on me? Jack just texted me about you. Me like, fuck.
I'm assuming you grow it because you do like it occasionally as a food. You just don't like its delicate constitution. Is that kind of where
well,
we're
at?
Well,
it's actually, it's like a really horny plant. Like it grows really well, but it's just my plant right now is not doing so great. So I think I was just thinking about what's overrated and I put basil down because I was like personally angry at my plant.
Every time I've bought like living basil at like a farmer's market or something, like you can plant this, you know, so you can actually keep growing it. I fuck that shit up every time and it never grows. So like I kind of felt you in that first part. I'm like, did you buy some shit that someone told you could plant it and then it will grow abundantly?
I grew it from seeds. I like a god, shit. I raised it from seedlings and it was doing great. And then like it was just the moving it to another pot.
Are you fighting your dog right now?
My dogs are like fighting with each other right here next to the microphone. I'm so
I heard
sorry.
Their I heard their nails on the floor. I thought it was my dog outside my door. I was like, no.
I can't remember if I had my second dog the last time I was on this, but they love to do this when I'm trying to like record something or have a phone call. I don't know how loud that is, but I'm very sorry.
That's fine. And look, it adds texture. It gives us environmental, you know, nuance. So yeah, the listeners love dogs.
And it gets our listeners to stand up and go check outside their doors to see if their dogs right, like, are running around, which they, you know, they need the stretcher legs.
Yeah.
Question mark reminder on their phone every once in a while.
Wait, that's a reminder you get?
That's a reminder. Oh, that's from Aura. My Aura ring.
Oh,
O-U-R-A,
wow.
Aura is like, hey, maybe stretch your legs a bit.
Hey, hey, you slovenly fuck. Get off your ass a little bit.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think empty time in the schedule is underrated. I think basically non-productive time is severely underrated by myself and by the wider society that always wants you to be hustling and doing and demonstrating how much you're hustling and doing. And just like emptiness is a great feature.
Is this a new realization? Is this something a philosophy you've held dear? Because I know in the time we've worked together, I'm like, I think Baratunde is like one of the most hardest working people I've ever met. He has 900 things going on all the time.
At
I'm
all
like,
times.
Okay. Maybe this is no, like, what, how do we get here?
That's an excellent and an intimate question because, because it is something that I don't always believe and I certainly don't always practice. So it's a realization I've come to a number of times.
Right.
But every time I rediscover it, I'm like, all right, I need to schedule blank spots to just have time to think loosely, like not listening to a podcast, not binging on some programming, not in a meeting, not writing, not intentionally making anything happen. Mm-hmm. Just like space, the final frontier. Mm. And so it's new again. And it's something I really just have been feeling over the past week. As I had the thought that you have about me from the outside, I also share from like, oh, maybe I'm up to too many things. And how am I going to push to get it all done? And instead,
but then in my mind, I'm like, that's how you become a best-selling author. Like, you know, these I'm like,
well, this kind of ties into what we were going to talk about with TikTok and like that pipeline. Because yeah, I have the underlying question of whether, you know, our next generation of like great actors and directors and creators are being just swallowed up by not like busy work, but like the very small and disposable creations of like social media. You know, like,
okay, yeah. we're going into the deep end of the pool, but kids.
You know, that ties back to just the importance of boredom.
Yeah,
you know?
that's another way of saying what I was thinking about underrated. And I think we perform productivity, right? It's kind of hard to show that you're not doing things, or you feel some sense of shame if you just post like just chilling, doing nothing. Right. And also, maybe you're not doing nothing because you just posted about how you're doing nothing.
Right.
But yeah, there's so much of I have definitely drank the Kool-Aid, or actually, I don't know if I drank it. I think I've been like waterboarded by the Kool-Aid of productivity. And so it's ended up in my digestive system, but also in my lungs and my eyes and like every other part, because we are trying to get ahead. Like we're trying to generate more. We're trying to achieve and feel like we have some purpose. And that's so much tied up in just doing a bunch of stuff.
Right.
So just pausing to get off of that race, off of that track is quite difficult. And, you know, we set up an economy where it's kind of required to.
Right.
Because, you know, it's hard to afford a home. You know, even if you have money, it's hard to afford a home. You don't have money. You know, so there's a trap that we're locked in around this productivity thing that occasionally rears its head. And I'm like, oh, there's another way to be.
Right.
Yeah. And then I crank out some TikToks, you know, about my newfound insights.
Yeah. Right.
Follow me, follow me, follow
Third
me.
Third Eye. Follow me at Third Eye Baratunde.
Yep. Sign up for my course. You know.
Was like the hustle culture, where do you think it got really big? Like in college, was at university, does it get like that? Because, you know, you're at a really competitive school, a lot of people achieving things. Is that sort of like the beginning of sort of completely cementing this philosophical pitfall within
it's
you?
I think it was, you know, I grew up with a deep sense of the sacrifice my mother made to provide me with a lot of opportunities to shield me from some of the more perilous parts of life growing up in the crack wars, DC 80s, all of that. So I think I carried a little bit of a burden of debt where like, I gotta earn this. I gotta be the return on her investment. And then by the time I got to college, it was a safe place to experiment with wildly unhealthy behaviors about trying to get ahead. I tried to sleep every other night for a couple months or a couple of weeks. Ooh. Or then I would do like, I'll do four hours tonight and 8 hours tomorrow night, and 4 hours tonight, and 8 hours tomorrow night. Or just push myself to like not sleep and see how much I could get done, which I'm still convinced is why I don't remember a lot of college. I didn't drink at all during college. There was no binge drinking or any of that destroying brain cells. It was just, but the same effect happens through sleep deprivation,
right?
Yeah. When I started learning about the long-term health effects, that helped slow me down. When I met my now wife, Elizabeth, she is the opposite. Like, she really respects contemplation, time to synthesize, rest. And, you know, she rubbed off on me, I think, a little more than I rubbed off on her, which is, I think, net healthy for both of us, which is, you know, encouraging me to pause and breathe. And then what I found is maybe, you know, to your point, Jack, about creative production, I can have bigger and better ideas if I'm not constantly cranking out tiny ideas.
Right.
And so just creating, it takes a bit of faith because you don't see it in the short term. You're like, but I'm not doing anything in the next 5 minutes to prove that I'm a productive member of society. Right. But over the next 50 minutes, my mind is just processing a lot of the stuff that it's consumed. And then 5 weeks from now, maybe I come up with something.
Right.
I just have an idea, quote unquote. But it's that idea is the result of space that, you know, the hamster wheel would never allow me for. So it's one of those things you have to like trust, you know, a different process and just know that things might emerge on the other side rather than what you can see tangibly in the short term and like pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So TikTok is bad.
I don't know. I still wake up at 3 every morning and work out like Mark Wahlberg and The Rock.
Good for you. Wait, really? Do you really wake up at 3
no.
in the morning?
Oh. I just find that, like, that's the new unhealthy sleep habit du jour that people are like, this means you're truly on your grind, right. is if you wake up, like, at the time that most people are, like, just starting to enter REM sleep and start lifting weights.
That's Mark Wahlberg and The Rock both do this?
Yeah, I believe so. I know Mark Wahlberg does.
I mean, it helps that they have probably personal butlers and private trainers and people to take care of all the other stuff that the rest of us have to do.
Yeah. Who just take over driving when they fall asleep at the wheel.
Yes.
Like when they don't drive. It's like, yeah, Mark Wahlberg has to wake up and then eat a meal that's prepared for him and work out with a person that's waiting for him to walk him through it. And then he gets in his like cryo chamber or whatever it is.
Right,
and
right.
He's like, and then I start my day.
Pop some acidophilus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly. Beer bong a gallon of acidophilus. And then you go, bro.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk some politics.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask 2 people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last 1.5 years. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
to Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and it's time to check in with the wonderful world of state politics. So, as you mentioned up top, the GOP has a hot one going in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So this is to fill a empty Senate seat. I believe these are the two front runners.
They
were not popular at the thing. There was like a straw poll after the debate where Josh Mandel, not everybody's favorite candidate from that, but they are like in broader polling, the front runners. And Miles, give us the tale of the tape. What went down?
Well, on one side, you have Mike Gibbons, who's just like you're GOP Senate hopeful from like the early aughts, like shit out of a machine when you're like, yeah, right, private sector, business.
Yeah, like Newt Gingrich looking.
Yeah. And then you have Josh Mandel, who's like, you know, served like a couple tours in Iraq. But the thing that like sort of put him on the map initially was because Trump didn't want to endorse him or like get involved with him. He's like, many people have said that Trump has, quote, called him a charisma free weirdo and dork, which I'm like, oh, OK, that's fucking interesting. And this is according to multiple sources who have been like, yeah, Trump has this weird thing about Josh Mandel, like always talking about his charisma or he's weird or asking about his personal life. So this is one of the quotes that they gave to the Daily Beast, like an insider quote. The former president has used the term fucking weird to describe Josh Mandel more than once when I've spoken to him about it. One of the people said, he goes on to say, quote, he has talked about Mandel and sex in the same sentence more times than I would have liked to hear.
Which so, I'm assuming is more than once, but based on the way that people talk around Trump and like all the horrifying things about him within the Republican Party, I'm assuming it's more like in the 20s.
Yeah. Well, and they say Trump always talks about wild shit, people's sex lives, like always prying or just bringing up like absolutely inappropriate things that aren't relevant at all. Even to his like racist gang of politicians, they're like, I don't know if I care about that part so much as bringing white nationalism to normalizing that here. So anyway, Mandel has made like a lot of waves because we realize he has to embrace the MAGA world. This is what we've seen from everybody, right? It's like, I gotta fucking hug this radioactive dump site to be able to ascend the heights of government. And especially like with the Christian elements, Mandel is Jewish, and a lot of like supporters and other like observers and like Jewish outlets have been like, this guy is like now kicking it with like anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists, like in an attempt to like cozy up to MAGA world. And they're just like, this is all kinds of weird. So that's the whole backdrop of this dude and Mike Gibbons, which brings us to last Friday when they participated in a debate. And again, Gibbons did the thing, traditional GOP guy, he'd be like, this guy's got no private sector experience. He's not a job creator, like that kind of shit. Dude, Mandel goes off and here's the kind sound. Yeah, just check this out because this guy is a real aggro cool guy.
We should probably describe what's happening because it's a very boring goes off. I'll say that. Like his version of going off is like a focus group told him that he should act tougher and like something short-circuited in his brain and made his legs stand up.
He certainly got the note about projecting that aggro shit because maybe he took that note a little too far. So here's a little snippet.
I can tell you.
You filed that with the Federal Elections Commission. You own stock in Chinese Petro.
I personally didn't buy the stock.
You made millions off of it.
The guy who talks slow is Gibbons.
I don't think I made millions off of anything. I'd love Mandel's to have made millions off of Chinese Petro. First of all,
Shanghai Shenda and Chinese Petro.
Buying a second. Right, you may not understand Mandel. This because you've
I
never been in the
private.
No, you don't.
I do.
You've never been in the private sector in your
life. All right, I've worked, sir.
Josh. Squat. Josh.
Two tours in Iraq. Don't tell me I haven't worked.
Your chest to chest.
Don't tell me I haven't worked.
You don't know squat.
You don't know squat.
You don't know squat.
They're both standing
in Iraq. Don't tell me I haven't worked.
Off, buddy,
face to face, like inches between their noses, but both
back
standing
off,
like they have a pole up their ass.
Yeah. even the moderator's even like sad. He's like, all right, come on, guys. Like, none of you are about this life. And this is actually a debate for people looking to get the nomination for a Senate race. But
right.
This goes on again because Mike Gibbons now, he's in his like boomer bag. And right. He's like, you don't scare me, little kid, tough guy. And this is when it starts getting a little bit hotter.
Never, that'll happen.
Let's sit down.
Never.
Watch. Watch.
We'll square it away
you're
with the
wrong dude.
No, no, you're dealing with the wrong guy. You watch what happened. You watch what happened.
Oh!
Wait, who said that?
That's Josh Mandel. You want to hear one more time when he says, you don't want to deal with me.
You watch what happened. You watch what happened.
So that's... Wow. What went down? And meanwhile, you're going to hear, I think in the clip you do hear J.D. Vance be like, come on, guys. Right here.
All right, guys.
Well, J.D. Vance has been standing to the side, and then he also got the focus group note that you should stand up.
Yes.
Like, so he stands up at the end for a moment and is like, geez, guys, and then sits back down.
Ridiculous. God damn it. Yeah, I mean, look, a little light homophobia in a Senate primary race. It means everyone wins, I guess. But yeah, this is what's funny is after the fact, Gibbons, like spokespeople, denied that Josh Mandel had hit him with that, like just being like calling him out like that. And it was just weird. It's like, oh, huh?
Wait, it's they like, denied?
I don't know if he said that. Now I don't know what their strategizing is on that. Maybe because the. Like voters would be like, oh, what, you can't handle some words, Snowflake? But that's kind of the state of that race at the moment. So you have your choice,
Gibbons,
Ohio.
Just overtook Mandel in polling, apparently. And so this is like kind of a wild swing from Mandel to be like, I could beat him in a fight. Does that appeal to you?
The old guy, like, you don't look that tough squaring up to Mike Gibbons. You know what I mean? But I guess. In these races that are just about projecting as much masculine energy as possible. That's what it calls for.
The J.D. Vance thing is extra like cringy and surreal to watch. Like if you just watch any YouTube clips of him going from, you know, talking during the Trump administration, being, you know, the mainstream media's favorite sort of person who like expert medium to the other side. With the other side being like poor white people and like Trump supporters, and just was always so unfailingly condescending and dismissive. And now he is like trying that costume on and like goes around to campaign stops and like old beat up Cincinnati Bengals sweatshirts that like he had to get at a thrift store like
he
the
bought
day
on
before.
eBay for $400.
Yeah. Yeah. And like there are these articles where his like close friends from like Yale Law School are just like, it's really weird. We still talk to him and like everything's cool. But then you look at him out there and like it's so yucky. Like it seems to be the general vibe.
It's wild what the pursuit of power does to people.
Yeah. I think he's in fourth, by the way, in the race, J.D. Vance.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like people saw you flip-flop so hardcore as like a never-Trumper to like MAGA wannabe. And they're like, oh, God, JD, just please sit down. Everyone sit down.
Let's talk about this Grey's Anatomy writer story. It's just kind of a wild story. But it's definitely something that you see happen on the internet.
Everywhere.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Or just this idea of people being... taking a little bit from here and there, spicing up their own life to maybe ascend in your job or make yourself more interesting or garner sympathy. But there's this writer, Elizabeth Finch, who's written on Grey's Anatomy since 2014 and has also been on like written on shows like Vampire Diaries, True Blood, you know, like established writer.
These are all my shows also. I'm like, I've been
really?
With this woman. Yeah. My toxic trait is that if I'm hanging out with you and we are near a television, I'm going to ask you, hey, do you want to watch the pilot of True Blood? And you're going to say no, and I'm going to make you do it anyway.
I love that energy where you're like, man, if we get high, Karama's going to be like, do you want to watch the pilot of True Blood?
Stone cold sober. Stone cold
Every
sober.
Time.
I will do that shit. I love
it. It's
True
reminding
Blood.
Me of me who would be like, hey, man, you want to watch City of God in like 2005?
Yeah.
Every City time. I'm like, you ever see City
shit.
Of God? or the pilot of the Shield.
No, but like True Blood is my show. Yeah. And right. She was the writer's assistant on True Blood before she was a writer on True Blood. So she's been with that show. And I was with her the whole time for the whole ride.
There you go.
And I recently rewatched all 8 seasons of The Vampire Diaries. So,
wow.
Yeah. And okay. I am 2 episodes behind on Grey's Anatomy. So I've watched 18 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. So this, I'm really upset with Elizabeth right now.
Yeah.
Are you, Lindsay, who's directing? Were you familiar with Elizabeth before this story broke? Like, did you know her as a name?
I did not know her as a name, but when the story broke and I looked her up, I was like, I know her work.
Yeah.
You're everywhere I want to be. Like, your MasterCard or Visa, whatever that thing is. But so when right before she was about to start Grey's, you know, she was saying that she had been through a lot of health stuff, and in the writer's room had mentioned she's been through a lot, had a very turbulent medical history, which the writer's room naturally, you know, Grey's Anatomy will take shit from real life, inspired by real life, and put it into the show. And her stories were not an exception. They heard a lot of the anecdotes that she had and were like, wow, can we use some of this for the show? And this is from one of the write-ups. They said, quote, despite being just 44 years old, Finch has seemingly endured a lifetime of ailments and suffering, which helped transform her into an icon of the show. She was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer the year before Grey's hired her. She went through several brutal rounds of chemo, which forced her to unfortunately have an abortion. She lost a kidney and part of her leg and then was required to have a knee replacement surgery only to later learn that she had been misdiagnosed by a doctor whom she later confronted. And she's been very upfront about this. She's written like multiple essays in places like Elle Magazine or like the Shondaland website. But things went a little bit sideways when all of a sudden her wife contacted Shondaland and ABC to said, I think my wife may be being a bit duplicitous about like what she's telling you all. So this all happened because Finch was working on Grey's, said that they had to leave for a pressing family emergency that day and couldn't work. So that her coworkers concerned phoned her wife, asked what was happening. They mentioned like what Finch had told them. And her wife said that the details of what Finch said to the writers at Grey's was eerily similar to her own very specific medical troubles.
That's the part that gets me, because just say this happened to your wife. Just say that it happened to your wife.
Right.
Grey's doesn't
change
care
anything.
Right. Yeah.
That's what's so wild when you're like, yeah, so I went, you have just as much proximity as a writer. I'm sure other writers would trust you to being like, oh, you lived through supporting a person going through this. You didn't just read an article. Mm-hmm. Please give us some usable, you know, like something that we can actually inspire the writing on the show. But yeah, it's odd. So right now, Finch has been put on leave and the people aren't quite sure. But the wife has said because of this, like what's happened, she's like now going through a quote acrimonious divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So, yeah, I mean, if true, you truly are like, what was the point of that? But I get to creative environment, maybe just very misguidedly, you think, oh, this is going to make me like indispensable to the show, or this will really help me be someone who needs to be part of the show and, you know, help me in my career. But damn.
What's wild is it feels like she doesn't know the show because of the fact that she decided, if she did lie, if this is true, she decided to lie and say that it was her instead of her wife, because the show is about relationships. The show is about the relationships that you build with your coworkers, with your patients, with like romantic relationships. It's about people. It's not just about the medicine. And having somebody whose spouse is going through this and who, like, say, Meredith, main character, the Grey herself, she sees somebody whose spouse is going through this, and it reminds her of when her husband Derek died in like season 12 or whenever he died. That is a story that is, I think, very compelling. I would watch it.
Yeah. I mean, this is a compelling character for any medical drama, is somebody who takes the medical history of a loved one for like selfish purposes. That shit would be, I can see that. I don't watch a ton of Grey's. I've watched a lot of like medical dramas, like House, Scrubs, like all those shows. Like, so, you know, where the patient is revealed to like be having like sympathetic ailments based on the ailments of a loved one. The other wild thing is just it's a really interesting, like almost like psychological drama of being the spouse. And like putting these clues together as a, like,
right.
dawns on you, Kaiser Soze, like the end of Usual Suspects style. You're just like, what the fuck? And then you like go and reread the article that they wrote on
that's
Elle.
The other crazy part, because if she's publishing articles,
right, you're
not
reading that shit. They're like, nah, you don't need to read that. You don't need to read that shit.
Also, you're like, hold up, this character on Grey's, that's the shit that happened to me with the knee replacement and the misdiagnosis. That's in that. It's like, yeah, I told him about you, baby. That's what
something,
I told him about.
Something feels funky here. Like, so there is more to this story.
Yeah, that's what I think is odd, because the idea that you're publishing multiple essays, like all the articles say, like she's been very vocal about her experiences. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, is this something, is this more of a divorce? And then their people are weaponizing different facts against each other. All to say, messy place, but it's just,
it feels very early in the story for the Hollywood Reporter to be reporting it, to be honest. Like, because it's like they just were replaced. They were just placed on administrative leave to pending the investigation. And it is a story based on around an acrimonious divorce, which those are always real tricky.
Yeah.
But like it's an issue with medical records. So it is going to be very difficult for them to do a full investigation, because you can't just say, like, give us all your medical records. Those are private.
Right.
That's a real HIPAA violation.
Right.
But we did want to, I did want to talk about it, because I feel like this is something, like, have you guys ever had somebody who you knew through, like, an online community who had a, like, big medical drama that turned out to not be true? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, I've seen from afar, like, people lie about, like, a thing, but never, like, personally, where I'm like, damn, I can't believe they fucking lied about all that shit. Yeah. I feel like it's a story we see a lot, or on Twitter, I feel like random fandoms will be like, this guy lied about all, like, everything. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened back at Cracked. It was pretty wild.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yikes. No, I don't think I've ever been in that specific experience. I have been a part of a lot of large online groups where people have lied about stuff, but never like health stuff, usually financial stuff. And I was in this big Facebook group in LA called Girls Night Out. And it's like the worst kept secret Facebook group in the world. And it's for women. And it's got like 20,000 members. And one of the like main leaders of that group, she ended up getting ousted because she was like in June 2020, she was getting donations from people on Venmo. And she said that she was going to be like redistributing them to women of color. And then people were like, show us the receipts. And she's like, oh, I will. And then it took like hours for these receipts to materialize. And they had just been purchased. Like was like she had just sent the money. There was some shady financial stuff going on. And she had also said that she wanted like money for new protest sneakers. And people were like, you can get your own sneakers.
Wow, protest nice sneakers. Big swing there. I need new protest sneakers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, bless them. Bless all of them.
Bless them all. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some other stuff.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last 1.5 years. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and it's time to get to yet another life hack that seems like it is like makes life more difficult, but it does get people to be like, oh, they know a life hack.
Yeah.
So this is cupcake eating hack.
Yeah.
Hit us, Miles, because this comes from eyewitness testimony.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I was at a birthday party for a friend, and someone made cupcakes. And they came out, one of the guests very confidently just tore the fucking thing in half and inverted it on itself.
So like tore it in half, like the cake was torn in half, like along its equator, like
yes.
Around the,
so
right. It's not torn in half, like down the middle.
No. It's like you rip the top off or the base of the cupcake off and then just flip it over and smush the frosting on top. So it's like a sandwich.
So the bottom of the cake is the top of the sandwich, the icing is the middle, and then like a rumpled top half of the cake is now the bottom of the cupcake.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And they were like, yeah, it's like this, like you don't eat, this is like the way to eat cupcakes. And I was like, no. And then on the takeout, the food blog we love so much on the show, they posted a thing about Anne Hathaway was like on Ellen or some talk show and also being like, this is how you eat a cupcake, ripping it in half, inverting it on itself, and it's like it's so clean and it's so neat.
What?
And I don't like, this is not genius to me. It, and I will say this, the person who I saw doing demonstrating the hack, they had cake all over them. So I completely missed the part where they were like, is a hack. It's aside from, I don't know, you're just getting icing all over the place. Oh. I don't know. This is me being an old head, and that's why I bring it to this council of things.
I don't understand what problem it's supposed to be solving.
okay, they'll be like, oh, you get frosting all over your face when you have, like, you know, just frosting, you know, stacked like 8 inches off the top of a cupcake and you bite into it. And now, like, you're from your eyebrows down to your chin is like inundated with
plastic.
That's not a thing I've had an issue with. Like, I know how to fucking finesse a cupcake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, where are they getting the cutting tool? Are you okay, so you're carrying a knife.
I think they're ripping it.
Brute force with your hands.
Yeah, that's
Your hands are going to be sticky.
Well, that's what I don't understand when you say that. Anne Hathaway says it's a very clean process.
Anne Hathaway is out there in the streets tearing cupcakes the ass off a cupcake.
Right.
Yeah. Mangling them in front of children and then saying it's a clean way to eat.
Yeah.
I don't know. People point out too, like, you know, what happens when you're eating a sandwich? Inevitably, you're going to displace the frosting when you bear down. With having the cupcake bottom on top, the frosting needs somewhere to go, and that's probably out the damn sides.
Yeah, you're displacing for sure.
I don't know. And this comes from somebody who, as a kid, I would eat the paper from the cupcake just to kind of get the last bit of flavor off of it a kid.
Because I'm like, scrape that shit.
You're leaving money on the table if you're not getting a little bit of bite out of that cupcake.
Yeah.
That's how I always saw it. You're
leaving money on the table.
Yeah, you're just leaving money on the table, baby. Kyle, you worked at a cupcake shop, right?
I worked at a cupcake shop for many years. I worked in the back. I decorated cupcakes for all kinds of events. And this was never a practice that I saw at that cupcake shop.
Did you ever see anyone, have you heard of this? Have you seen this?
I've never heard of this. It makes me believe that this is a new trend. Mm-hmm. This was never a thing. The one thing that I did hear about was, like, sometimes I worked there at a point where they had, like, cupcake toppers where, like, they baked, like, the top of cupcakes and then put frosting in the center. But it was never us tearing anything.
Right. Right.
Hmm. Yeah, why would you that to somebody's...
I don't know why I got so serious.
Yeah, the way you're accessing your memory...
My hands came...
You did kind of a Mr. Prayer Burns. Hands.
Yeah.
I think...
Let's My favorite cupcake, Susie Cakes, has like a little like dig out in the middle where they add extra icing.
Oh, Max.
If you tried this shit with one of those...
With that?
You would have... No. You would have a disaster on your hands. You would just ball of icing and cupcake you would have to just shove in your mouth. Like,
and you set someone up who likes to do the hack with that. That's what I'm going to do next time. I'm going to be like, oh, I got some cupcakes. Why don't you do the hack on this one? And then everywhere I'm like, you fool.
So when you went to this party with the cupcakes, were they already in that shape or just everyone started doing that? Were they on the platter that had been ripped up?
No.
No, it was just one person.
No, one person just goes, hey, guys, this is how to eat a cupcake.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did this person start a revolution?
Or did everyone ignore
that? Response kind of tepid?
No, it was kind of one of those things. And I'm sure they don't listen. But like everyone's kind of like, yeah, all right. It was just kind of very quickly dismissed. I was the most curious. I'm like, why would you do that? And not like in a confrontational way. I was like really trying to understand, like, am I missing some like key to efficiency here that I'm completely like it's lost on me? It's like, no, it's just easier that way. And then like watching their little like frosting covered fingers
as they
delicately ate like this sandwichified cupcake. I was like, you've done nothing.
I am going to try this. Like So we talked before a couple weeks back. One of our guests said that they recommended eating an apple from the bottom up.
Instead
of rotational around, bottom up.
From the bottom.
We have not been able to stop talking about that, even though I refused to try it. Miles tried it and did not like it.
No.
Some of our guests, same deal. This is one that I like even less than that hack, but I will try it because I'm always down to experiment with a cupcake.
I don't mean to be rude, but I hear this and I go, this is a non-problem and you need to get a hobby.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is...
Anne Hathaway.
Also, I'm sorry, Anne Hathaway. I'm to believe that Anne Hathaway is eating cupcakes
right. all the time.
Enough yeah. to where she needs a solution.
She, yeah, yes,
well, she doesn't.
Yes, yes, yes. She's like, there's really a problem here. I need to pick figure this out.
Cupcake efficiency.
She's on the set of a big Hollywood movie and she's like, give me a second. I need right. to figure out this major problem. And she has all these cupcakes in her room. She's like, right. okay, hiya, hiya, hiya. That's to her cupcakes. Hiya, hiya. And then they're like, whoa, Anne, you got to come on set.
You got to share this with the world.
I was just like that. Yeah, she could be. Oh, she's like, it was the Kelly Clarkson show. And like, yes. you go on a show, you're promoting something. You're like, yeah. so like, Anne, let's talk about your new film. No, shut the fuck up, Kelly. bring those cupcakes out really quick. I got to fucking tell everybody about this problem that we're facing right now. Oh, the rampant inequality. No, fucking inequality. Shut the fuck up, Kelly. I'm a fucking cupcake.
Inequality of distribution of icing and
of
cake.
Icing. Good. Nice setup, Kelly. Good. All right. You try and eat it like a normal asshole. You see, folks? Look. Oh, completely destroying it. Now, watch Anne's perfect method. Oh, my. See? Oh, yeah. It's totally clean.
They're all doing the Anne over there.
Yeah.
right. Oh, it does presuppose that the icing is the messy part, but the cake is really the messy part because it's crumbly. The crumbly shit that gets all over the place. Yes. Now, granted, it's easier to clean up if you have like a little hand vac or something. So maybe that's where they're coming from.
No, Jack, who goes, well, why are we even saying that using a miniature hand vacuum is part of the cupcake eating process? That's where we're like, and obviously, because you're yeah. going to have your hand vac handy.
Like, I have a 4-year-old. The miniature oh, hand right, vac right. is that, like that the sixth step on many a process.
That's true, actually, because it's so true. All my friends have smaller kids. They have like hand vacuum. My one friend busted out a tiny little one that they keep in a backpack.
Yeah.
Just to like
the main
like,
reason I'm jealous of Iron Man is because he has that energy source and he could plug in a little hand vac and just carry it around with him at all times.
A Dyson even.
Yeah. Like real yeah. deal. Yeah. That's the main reason.
Other than that, didn't really see anything else that impressed me about this guy. But that suit, that's a walking vacuum power station.
Hey, talking about movies, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's Pivot. Talk. It's Hollywood's big night.
Oh,
you know, we live in L.A., so we're all, you know, getting ramped up, getting revved up, excited for the night that the stars really do come out and shine. The Oscars are Sunday. And there was a little controversy. I know this seems strange for anybody who pays attention to the Oscars, but people did get a little up in arms about something seemingly small with regards to Rachel Zegler not getting invited to the Oscars.
People said, it's a snub. What happened? You get two tickets, or the studios get tickets to, you know, send whoever they believe is worthy of a ticket. Are they, what is this, some kind of conspiracy?
So,
and you're saying what?
In her initial post, she said, I've been trying, but sorry, it doesn't seem like it's happening. I'll be watching the Oscars with all of you from my couch. Mm. So this put visions in everybody's mind of, you know, the star of one of Hollywood's most nominated movies. It was like one of the great, like, you know, she went from like high school plays to a Steven Spielberg movie. Everyone's like, yes. People were now picturing her sitting at home in L.A. while, like, you know, down the block. All these studio heads were partying it up. So then the Oscars reversed course. They were like, not only are you invited, you're going to be a presenter. And Gawker has been relaunched. And this is the shit that they existed in the first place and are re-existing for. They pointed out that this might have been like kind of a bullshit story. First of all, she was not watching it from her couch. She's in London shooting the live action Snow White, I think. And so it would have been a massive undertaking for her to like, for them to stop the production, have her fly across the world, fly back at COVID times, which
yeah.
like means that people need to get tested and quarantine and all that shit. So I feel like, you know, and then it's also the Oscars are on ABC, owned by Disney. She's making a movie for Disney. So maybe they were just like, we're just not going to invite her.
Right.
Which I think that's where the issue is. Gawker's like, she's a liar. Like she was misrepresenting it. But This just makes me think, like, oh, she's gonna be good in her career. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Disney though too is, you know,
yeah, Disney fucked up.
They're notorious for like being very on top of money that's being spent. So I'm sure, and they'd be like, oh, if the star of our film that we're trying to make more money on has to leave production, that's gonna clog things up and cost us more money than it would even have. Fine, whatever. But hey, Rachel, you know, welcome to the town where the part of town I'll never go anymore. And everyone in L.A. has no idea the Oscars are happening. So it is a monumental time. When you were setting the story up, I'm like, the Oscars, when everyone in L.A. aggressively becomes anti-Oscars.
Right. Yeah.
Kyle and Anna, are you excited at all? I mean, I'm looking at these faces. They do not say we are rearing to go to watch the Oscars.
I mean, what I got to say about that part of town is there is a Beetlejuice themed bar.
Oh, where is the?
The Oscars are like by.
Oh, on Hollywood
on
Boulevard.
Hollywood, the Kodak.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the Beetlejuice bar is right there.
So that she could go there.
I will be watching.
You watch it from there.
From a Beetlejuice themed bar, like all of you.
Right.
They do like blood shots.
Yeah, right. We could talk at length about the bar because they do really cool stuff.
Yes.
But as far as the Oscars go, I dropped off after. I mean, I was just recently thinking about the beautiful moonlight moment. That for me is, of course, yeah. That's top Oscars.
I think it was the last time I watched an Oscars.
Yeah, I maybe took a look since then, but yeah. I'm not really in there.
Yeah.
I'm definitely Oscar. Not in there.
Yeah, I'm not really in there.
I once went actually to see the limos as like an experiment, just to like see what that.
Well, twisted
yeah, it was my
experimenting with limo watching.
Well, I just wanted to see. My friend was doing this like project on tourism, so we dressed up like tourists and then went to watch the limos.
That.
And people were just making fun of us, but it was like, no, the joke's on you because this is an experiment.
Wow.
not serious, an experiment. So
yeah,
but it's not so as sad as you think.
It's so interesting because people line up and watch limos go by, but you can't see anything.
They're all tinted, right? Yeah.
So you're just like, hi.
It's just like a spiritual. It's not seeing them. It's them seeing you.
It's them.
Yes,
seeing you.
That's yeah. What's weird.
Amazing. I mean, that kind of makes sense to me because, like, celebrity is, it's like a spiritual proximity, like a physical, like just physically being there is like, they saw me.
Right.
Yeah, like, you don't know who it is seeing you. It could be the.
It's Hollywood.
It could be the cinematographer who you don't know who it is. Yeah.
Best Boy Grip. You know, we don't.
Yeah. Key Grip, you know.
Key Grip.
Key Art PA. Who knows?
I, on accident, one time went to like a Oscar swag thing, giveaway.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea. My friend was like, do you want to come with me to this thing? She was a journalist. And so she was invited to this thing. I had no idea what it's for. We went. It was the day, I think it might have been either the day or the day before the Oscars.
Uh-huh.
I had just come from an exercise class and I had wet hair. And I was like, just wearing just like exercise clothes. And then we arrive and it was like people in gowns taking step and repeat photos. And it was a swag bag event for like just weed, as far as I just weed in general, just right, different weed companies came
brought
out
to you by weed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There were just all sorts
big
of
weed.
There was literally weed for dogs. So wow. Then there was a dog representative.
A dog in a gown.
And then I'm there with my wet hair.
Which you probably fit in more with your wet hair and exercise clothes at a weed giveaway than someone in a fucking ball gown. So,
I mean, it was crazy. People were like really networking and there were charcuterie being passed around. And I was like, I did not know that this was. I mean, I just wasn't prepared.
Was it with a swag bag situation? Do you go and you just pick up a bag and leave? But or no, you're saying you schmooze a little?
You have to schmooze for like 5 minutes.
Mm. Or, okay.
They're like, oh, let's check you in. And then you go inside the suite, excuse me.
Right.
You're in the suite for like a few minutes. And you know, you're like waiting in line to receive your duffel bag full of, I'm sorry, but just weed.
Right.
And
so, yeah, you have to, you can't be weird and just take your bag. You have to like,
no. And then while you're standing in line, people come up to you, for example, with the dog representative, they go, might I interest you in some dog weed or whatever?
Uh-huh.
So you have, you can't be, I mean, maybe you could be like, not for me, yeah, eyes on the prize, but.
I'm going to just take my duffel bag.
So did you get the bag?
I did get the bag.
You secured the bag. And
I secured the bag.
Was it good? Like, were the products cool? Did you feel like they lift the oxidative burden?
Oxidative?
That was the thing that we learned about one of the giveaways in this year's swag bag. It lifts the oxidative burden at the cellular level.
Wow.
Any products like that or just weed?
Okay. Mostly weed.
There were take a CBD and THC infused massage from this man. We'll come to your house. There are a variety of things, and there were vapes and all this other stuff. I'm going to say something that'll immediately out me as an unpopular guest in your program. Your ratings are going to go through the toilet. I'm so sorry.
Through the toilet.
You're going to have to get a plumber in there.
Damn.
Through the toilet.
Oh, no.
That's pretty aggressive.
I'm not even 420 friendly. I can't smoke weed because it just makes me, honestly, it's me. It makes me too crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
But
it could be the weed.
No, I'm right there with you.
It's me. The weed is so nice.
The weed is really nice. Please, it's me. I really beg you, there's something wrong with me. I
don't
want to
ruin it for you. Yeah.
So, please, my hands
so you got basically a useless bag of nothing for all
And I didn't. My friend didn't tell me it was a weed thing.
Right.
She just said, come with me.
And presumably your friend knows you well enough to be like, Anna's not fucking with weed.
Absolutely. And yet there
now,
I am.
Now
with
our
a
focus
bag
is on this
weed.
Friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a controversial friend.
Yeah. Okay.
So. All right. That's going to do it for this week's weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.